Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
It doesn't feel like it's been almost a decade, but it has. Almost a decade ago, I heard my cousin say these words: "An enemy has done this." We were in a church, much like this one. But instead of me being up front, it was my cousin Jeremy up front. And he was referencing Matthew 13:28. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells a parable about a farmer. A farmer who takes good seed and goes out into his field and sows the seed. But later on, the Bible says an enemy comes and sows weeds. And when the wheat and weeds began to grow, the servants of the farmer come to the farmer and they said, "Did you plant good seed? Because there's a bunch of weeds out there." And the farmer said, "No, an enemy has done this." There's so many beautiful aspects of this parable, but what I want to take a moment to just acknowledge is the farmer's servants thought he had done something wrong. He had done nothing wrong. He planted well. The seed was good. But an enemy had come along and brought destruction. So Jeremy and Jeanette, my first cousins, I have a number of cousins, but Jeremy and Jeanette kind of grew up in the same town for much of the time that we were growing up. And they even when they moved, they just moved an hour or two away. So a lot of holidays were spent with Jeremy and Jeanette. Jeanette is only a year and a half younger than I am. And then my cousin Jeremy is a little bit younger than my brother. And so family events, we were the older cousins, right? And we hung out and we did stuff together. And I just remember a lot of family tables like this one, around the table, hanging out together. And so for me, it was a little stunning. A little less than 10 years ago, when my mom called me up, I was on a business trip right here in Florida, and my mom called me up and said, "Ken, Jeanette collapsed this evening, and the doctors think it's pretty serious. You need to really be praying." And I don't know about you, but when there's somebody that's, you know, younger than you, I'm like, yeah, she'll be okay. So I prayed. I did. But I didn't. I thought she's going to be fine. And if she's not, you know, then I'll have to make plans to get out to where she's at and talk to her. But I didn't get that chance because the next morning my mom came and called me up and said, "Ken, Jeanette passed away last night. She died of a cancer she didn't even know she had. 39 years old." And so, when I was at her memorial service, my cousin Jeremy was very brave and he got up and delivered the eulogy. And it was his words where he said, "An enemy has done this." Can we stop for just a minute, though, and admit that even God's servants sometimes question? Did you really sow good seed, God? Are you sure you didn't mix a little weeds, a little bit of weeds into that? Careful how I say that. I did it better first service. I imagine most of you have experienced profound grief in your life. Loss that was incomprehensible, that was ununderstandable. I imagine you've had things that have happened to you personally that weren't right and that made you really say, God, who is the enemy? Have I just been told that you're good and maybe you're an enemy? Are you sure? So let's talk about that a little bit this morning in light of the weekend and what we're celebrating tomorrow. In John chapter 1, John says that in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. That by and through the Word was everything created that was created. So from that, what we understand is that at the very beginning, Jesus, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit were. That everything that is was created by them. That they were perfect light, according to John. That they were perfection. But we're also told in the book of Revelation that not everything in heaven was perfect, because one of the angels, in Revelation, he's called the dragon. In the Old Testament, he's given other metaphors, but what we're told is that one of the angels, Lucifer, one of the archangels, basically says to God, why do you get to be God? Why not me? Why not any of them? Who says you're God? And God said, well, I did make everything. I am perfect selflessness. I am perfect love. And Satan said, says you. How do we know that? I mean, after all, you're the one handing out all the orders, aren't you? Pretty easy to be selfless when you're in charge. And Satan sowed that seed of doubt in God. Is love really God's law of the universe? Is God really love, or is God just selfish and expects everybody else to be selfless to serve his selfish needs? And that's the real question that Satan brings up in the very beginning of this, what we might call, great controversy. Is God selfless in love? Or is he selfish? And if he is selfish, doesn't that mean the rest of us get to be selfish too? Doesn't it mean that we should think out for number one? Somewhere in all of this, we're told in Genesis 1 and 2 that God created the earth that we live in. That in 6 days, God created perfection. He brought order out of chaos. And when he gets to the sixth day and looks at everything that he's created, including humanity, he proclaims it perfect. And if you read the original language, when you see what God is saying there, he says, I couldn't have done it any better. It's perfect. And after he finishes this perfect work, what does he do? He rests. On the seventh day, he rests from all his work. And when we take that word rest, I want you to think about what it meant. It means he stopped his creative work, and what did he do? He engaged in connection with his creation. Jesus, God the Creator, connected with Adam and Eve. He set aside this day and said, this is a day for connection. It's a day for us. 6 days, I want to connect with you all 7 days, but this is our day. pretty beautiful to think that the God, the creator of everything, wants to connect with you, wants to know your name, wants to know who you are, wants to know what you did during the week. But then Genesis 3 rolls around. And that slitherer, Satan, shows up. And he basically asks Adam and Eve to choose whether they're going to be on his side of things, that you deserve to be God, you can be selfish, or whether to trust God and say, no, I believe in what God's saying. I believe that God is love and I trust him. In other words, Satan was asking them to make a choice. Do you stay connected or do you disconnect? Don't miss this family. Adam and Eve were not disconnected by God. They disconnected themselves. They said, we don't trust you. You're holding out on us. We want to know what the difference between good and evil. Would any of you like to go back and not know the difference between good and evil? Oh, man. But they chose it. We're going to go. We should be God. We'll be our own gods. We'll go ahead and take care of ourselves. Thank you very much. And that is what really happens. And the symbol of all that is a piece of fruit. That fruit, that forbidden fruit, it wasn't poisoned. It was simply forbidden. It was a symbol of what do you choose? It was a symbol of faith. Do you have faith in God or do you not have faith in God? If you take it, you don't have faith in God. If you eat it, you don't have faith in God. You say, I'll be my own God. Thank you very much. I can take care of myself better than you can. And so we find ourselves in a heap of trouble. Like me, each one of you has lost people that you dearly love. You've been lied to. You've been gossiped about. You may have even gossiped about other people. You may have hurt other people intentionally, unintentionally, but you've caused hurt. And that's kind of what happens when you're your own God. But the beautiful thing about it is that God didn't just sit back. He didn't sit back in the garden. He doesn't sit back today. Remember, Adam and Eve disconnected, so they went and hid from God. But you know what? God went looking for them. And God hasn't stopped looking for us since. And that's why thousands of years later, Jesus shows up. Jesus, the third part of the Trinity, shows up in human flesh. In human flesh, Jesus shows up. He feels our hurts. He feels our pain. And most importantly, he got to make a decision. Would he be his own God or would he trust the Father? Can't imagine. Adam and Eve were tempted at one tree. Jesus was tempted his entire life. Never chose selfishness, always chose love. And it's interesting that when we see the big temptation of Jesus after he's baptized, what does it involve? The first thing it involves is food. Adam and Eve didn't pass the food test, but you know what? Jesus passed that test and two more, and a lot more than that. And instead of Jesus turning the stones into bread, he doesn't rely on himself. He simply says, God says, the word says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It becomes interesting when you think that John calls Jesus the word. We live by Jesus, don't we? Who's proceeded from God to us. Yeah, Jesus passed the test that Adam and Eve weren't. He was the new Adam. If it doesn't seem fair to you that Adam and Eve's mistake has doomed you, then also consider that it's not fair that Christ's perfect life gives you salvation either. The Bible says it a little bit like this. There's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You see, Jesus is called the Lamb of God, but Jesus also holds his lambs in his arms. He holds us in his arms. He came to show us how much he loved us. And at another table with his disciples, just before he was about to be crucified, the day before, he takes bread and breaks it and says, "This is my body broken for you." His disciples had no idea what he was talking. They didn't get it. And then Jesus takes grapes that have been crushed, takes the juice and said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he went to the cross. In family, he didn't have to do it. But can we just be honest for a minute? One of the greatest proof of selfless love is the willingness to give your life for another person. And Christ was willing to give up his eternity so that you could choose whether you wanted to have it or not. Perfect love. An answer to the question that had been bothering the universe. Is God really love? I submit to you that God unequivocally proved that he's perfect love. That he's able to do what he asks of us to do. And if that's not proof enough for you, maybe this tomb opening up and being empty is the ultimate proof. The ultimate proof that God wants reconnection, that God has not only wants it, but has given us reconnection with him. And the hope that those that we love who have died, we will be reunited with them just as Christ was resurrected. They and we hope for the resurrection and Jesus' second coming. So with Paul, we say these words. When those that we love, when the ultimate disconnection of death happens, Paul doesn't say, "Don't cry about it. It's going to be okay, so get over it." Paul simply says, we don't mourn as those without hope. Why do we not? Because we believe in a resurrection that's happened, in a resurrection that will happen. Today we thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. For since we were reconnected by the death of God's Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Family, I don't want to make it complicated for you today. I just want to put it out there. What food are you going to choose? Are you going to choose the forbidden fruit? Are you going to live for yourself, be your own God, say selfishness is the way? Or are you going to accept the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ that reconnects us to God? When you came in, you were given a little communion packet. Inside it, there's a little wafer, and there's a little grape juice. If you didn't receive one, please raise your hand really high, and we have people that will bring you. Keep your hand up really high so that the people who are bringing the wafers around can do that. But I invite you to take these out right now. And I invite you to open the side that has the bread in it. I invite you to take a look at that bread. I know it's small, but maybe even you try to break it. And I want you to think about what that symbolizes. Christ's body, broken by me and for me. I can't put it back together, but God can and did at the resurrection. I want to pray for this. Lord, we thank you for this symbol. We thank you for this symbol of you. And now, Lord, I pray for each person in here who's a believer, whether they just chose you 30 seconds ago or whether they've been following you their entire life. Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray that they would receive this symbol of your broken body with a pure heart and a cleaned mind because your Holy Spirit lives in them. Not because they're smarter, better, but simply because they've accepted you. Lord, may this bread give them strength to follow you wherever you lead. I pray in your name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was, before he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Take, eat."
All hail, King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth.
God, we thank you for Jesus' body, this symbol that we've just put into us, this symbol of power, of you living in us. And Lord, now we want to thank you for your blood. Jesus, we thank you for that blood that was spilled on our behalf. Lord, we want to take this seriously as we drink this little symbol. May it be profound in our minds that you shed your blood so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. On the night that Jesus handed out the bread before he was betrayed, he also took a cup of grape juice, and he passed it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, drink. This is my body. This is my blood spilled for you. Take, drink."
All hail, King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world.
Yeah. An enemy did bring death, hurt, pain. But our beloved Savior has reconnected us. Our beloved Savior has brought life and forgiveness and grace to all. On this Easter weekend, I want to assure you, Christ is risen. Stand up and sing like you believe it.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life Takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.